Cât de binecuvântați suntem să avem acești copii în mijlocul nostru, copiii dumneavoastră. Cât de binecuvântați suntem să avem oameni cu inimă pentru Hristos. Oameni care își sacrifică timpul, viața, banii pentru un scop etern, pentru un scop divin. Îi mulțumim Domnului pentru ei. Haideți cu toții pentru mesajul din limba engleză din această seară să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Filipeni, Philippians. Filipeni 4, un singur verset, 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, in this epistle of Philippians, Apostle Paul is pretty much trying to give some advices to Philippians as a brother, as a mentor in Christ. And here in chapter 4, if you read it very carefully, and especially verse 17, he is trying to thank them for all the support that he got from them in his departure, spreading the word of God in Macedonia and then in Thessalonica. But if you read it very carefully, Apostle Paul tries to make a point very deep. A very interesting and a very important point. What he wants to say is, you know what, I love you a lot and I care for you. But I want you to know that it's not about money. I'm very thankful and gladly for your support that you showed me in Macedonia and in Thessalonica as well. But I want you to know that it's not about money because I know how to live rich and poor as well. It's not even about the blessings that I would receive from God in a way or other. For me, it's all about having God being happy and satisfied with me and with my life. That's my purpose and that's my goal in life. And that should be our purpose and goal in life as well. I really believe that God wants to bless us. God wants to bless his children. And if you look in the Bible, we see that in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. And we also see that in the New Testament as well with the Gentiles, with us. God wants to bless us. God wants the best for us. You see, the problem is faith. Faith is like muscles. If you go to the gym, for example, and you will just stay on your phone the whole time, you won't see any changes in your body. But if you go to the gym and you work out, you'll find yourself losing some weight. You will find yourself, growing some muscles on your body. That's the same thing with faith, my dear brothers and sisters. If we work out the faith every day of our life, then this faith will grow more and more and more. But if we do not work the faith, this faith will one day die. The faith will one day die. You see, a weak Christian is a Christian that thinks the blessings are just for someone else, not for him. Someone else with more seniority in church. Someone else that reads the Bible more. Someone else that knows God more. Someone came to me about 4 years ago and said, you know what, I do not believe what happens in your church when over 200 people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. People from this church and people from other churches. People from this city and people from other cities. People from this state and people from other states. And I said, why? And he goes, you know, I know this guy and he came to your church and I know his life. And he was telling me that he prayed for 4 or 5 hours and then got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I can't believe that could have happened to him. And I said, you know what? If he was really honest with God, I truly believe that God could have done that in his life. I mean, did you forget about the robber on the cross? A lot of times, brothers and sisters were like God advisors, telling God what to do. God, you should bless this person. You shouldn't bless the other one. Like God would need our advices. Job was in a moment in his life when he was just trying to defend his life and himself in front of God. And God looks at Job and says, Job, how dare you talking to me, Job? Were you there when I made this earth out of nothing? Were you there, Job, when I put the stars in the sky? Job, how dare you talking to me? See, Jesus Christ in Matthew gives a parable. A parable of a master that has a vineyard. And the word of God says that this master went in the market. And in the market was pretty much like a Home Depot here. And at 3 o'clock, he sees people there and he says, you know, why would you stay here? Just come in my vineyard and work. At 6 o'clock, he does the same thing. He goes in the last hour of the day and there's still people sitting there and he invites them to work in his vineyard. And at the end of the day, he starts paying and he starts with the ones that work less. He pays everyone un dinar, a buck. Let's just say a buck. And at the end of the day, he's paying the ones that work the whole day. And he gives them a buck. And they're very unthankful. They're very angry. I mean, master, we work the whole day. We work 12 hours. We work through the pain, through the heat of the day. And you pay us the same as you pay this guy. They just work, 1 hour. Is that fair? And the master looks at them and says, what's your problem? Did you agree to work for $1? Yes, I did. Then take what's yours and leave. Can't I just do whatever I want with what's mine? Or is your eye evil? Because my heart is good. You know, who is more unrighteous than Jacob to receive the blessing? A tricker. A man that tricked his parents, he tricked his father, he tricked his brother, he tricked everyone. But brothers and sisters, there's a moment in Jacob's life when he's holding tight to his God, when he's holding tight to the angel and says, God, I won't let you go until you bless me. There has to be a moment in my life when I got to say, God, I won't stop praying until you bless me. I won't stop fasting until you bless me. I won't stop be committed until you bless me. I won't stop holding tight your hand until you bless me. Because you want to know something tonight? God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless Emmanuel Church tonight. I feel that from the bottom of my heart. He wants to bless you. So what if you're sick? So what if you're sick? Și dacă ești bolnav, asta nu înseamnă că trebuie să fii bolnav toată viața ta. So what if you're lonely? That doesn't mean that you have to be lonely all your life. So what if you're unhappy in your marriage? That doesn't mean that God wants you to be unhappy in your marriage. God wants the best for you. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants you to be blessed. He wants me to be blessed. I'm not for a gospel of prosperity, but I do believe that God wants his children to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Amen for that. The title of my message is Four Perilous Obstacles That Stop Blessings. Patru pericole, patru obstacole periculoase ce stompează, ce opresc binecuvântarea. Yeah, we want to be blessed and we like to be blessed, but there's a problem a lot of times. What stops the blessings? What stops blessings? You see, four things, all starting with the letter P tonight. The first one is the pressure test. You see, if you go to the doctor, and the doctor says you have cancer, you're probably going to turn to God, and you will say, you know what, I got to the point when I realized that there's not much that the doctors can do, the medicine can do, so I'm just going to turn to God. But let's say that you don't feel good home, you know, and you ask your parents, you ask your wife, your husband, you know, do we have some Advil, do we have some Tylenol, right? Let's say that you don't feel good. You got to go to the doctor. Now, the first thing that comes up in your head is, do I have insurance or not? Because I know it's very expensive. I got to go to the doctor. I'm there. And the doctor says, you know what? We did some exams. We did some tests on you. And we're going to have to perform a surgery on you. Now, at this point, if you still have some time and if you still have a laptop right next to you, you're probably going to go and try to read some reviews about that doctor. Că parcă știi că ar trebui să fie operat, dar parcă nu te lăsa chiar tăia de oricine, nu? You know, you are in a problem with money. You need that loan from the bank. And you're so stressed and you can't wait for Monday. You don't even want to call. You're going to be the first one at the bank at 9 o'clock in the morning when the bank starts, opens, and you will be the first one there because you need that loan. You need that money. I'm not going to bother God with these kind of questions, these minor problems. I'm not going to bother God. You see, the Word of God says in Mark that the disciples and Jesus, they were on the sea. And it says that the disciples put Jesus in a corner on the boat. You know what happened? I'm assuming that the disciples said, you know what, master, you're good. You're our master. I know you are a son of God. But you are good on the shore, God. Jesus, you're good on the mountains. You're good at telling people about the kingdom of heaven. You're good at telling people about hail. You're good at telling people about repentance. You're good at preaching, Jesus. Master, you are good at preaching. But now we are on the boat and we run the show here because we know how to do things here. We are in charge here. That's what we tell God a lot of times. We run the show, Lord. We run the show in our families. We run the show in our life. We run the show in our church. But God says, you know what? You do not run the show. I run the show. And the storm comes, and they go crazy, but they don't even realize the point, not even that. Învățătorule, dar nu-ți pasă că pierim? But Jesus Christ wants to prove them 2 points. The first one is that I am a God even of a nature. I am the God of the storm. It doesn't matter. He commands the storm to stop, and the storm stops.
And the second thing, did you call me? Păi, dar vrei să te ajut, vrei să te binecuvintez, vrei să fiu cu tine, dar m-ai chemat? But did you call me? Psalmul 91, dacă mă va chema, îi voi răspunde, îl voi spăvi, voi fi cu el în strâmtoare, dacă mă va chema. But if you don't call me, how do you want me to, how do you expect me to answer? God will never answer prayers that are not addressed. God will never answer prayers that are not addressed. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors. Go to the doctors. You know, go to the bank. I mean, use all these elements that are in this society, and God put all these elements in this society for us to take advantage of. But what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is go to God first in your pressure test. Go to Him first. Seek Him first. Because He wants to work in your life. Because He's there for you. He's going to speak. He's going to talk to you. You know what? See, He speaks through people so many times. You know why God speaks through people so many times? Because God loves people that much. He speaks through people. If not, the rocks are going to scream. The mountains will move. A donkey spoke. God has His own ways. But go to God first in your pressure test, in your problem, in your pain. Two, the danger of presumption. The question is, how am I going to overcome the disappointment of trusting the people? You see, we live in a society, we live in a world where we're disappointed by a lot of things. We're disappointed by the Congress. We're disappointed by the presidents. We're disappointed by churches. We're disappointed by media. We're disappointed by a lot of things. But what hurts the most is when you're disappointed by your own brother, by your own sister, by someone close to you. And you say, well, how could he do such a thing to me? But I trust him. But I trust her. How could he do such a thing? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? But the question is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me expecting someone else with just as many problems as I have, if not more, to resolve my own problems? Jeremiah 17, as it was said here in the morning, verses 5 and 7. Binecuvântat să fie omul care se încrede în Dumnezeu și blestemat să fie omul care se încrede în om. Those are two extremes put together to bring up one very strong and very deep statement that our trust should be in God and in God only. You know, we sing that song a lot of times. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And I'm here at the worship, and sometimes I look at your faces, and you see, I see that smile on your face. You know, it's like, you know, it's not just a relationship between a servant and God. Yes, that's true, but it's that connection, it's that intimacy. You know what? He calls me friend. I'm so close to him that he calls me friend. But if he calls me friend, and if I'm a friend of God, then where's my peace? Where's my love? Where's my joy? Where's my trust? Where's my self-control? Where's my confidence? If I'm a friend of God, if you are a friend of God. You see, trusting people is like wounds. They're open and they never close, like leprosy. How many friends do you have on Facebook? How many friends do you have or followers on Instagram? 100, 2? 5, 1,000, 2,000? Too many. Too many. We can't resist to one disappointment. But so many, the danger of presumption. Our trust should be in God and in God only. Third, the third perils, the third obstacle that stopped blessings in our life is the perseverance test. The question is that I want you to put tonight, and I want you to ask yourself tonight, is do I honor the promises that I made God one day? And do I expect God to work in my life based on my past or based on my present? Because Samson was a point in his life when he expected God to answer, but his hair was gone and God was gone as well. A lot of times we come to God, to our Lord, and say, God, respond me. God, do you remember 15, 20 years ago when I was in fire for you? God, do you remember just 3-4 years ago when you baptized so many people with the Holy Spirit? God, I was one of them. Do you remember how I would seek you every day? Do you remember I would be at church every day? I would pray every day. God, I was in fire for you every day. But God will not answer me based on what I was yesterday. God will answer me based on what I am today. A Christian that doesn't honor his promises to Lord, to our Lord, to God, is a Christian without character. You see, Apostle Paul speaks in Galatians 5 about slavery. To be able to talk about slavery in a society where slavery was a really big deal, it's like you would go in Saudi Arabia right now and you would open a Bible and start walking on the streets. But you know what the Apostle Paul emphasized there? He says, you know what, now that you're free in Christ, now that you have this freedom in Christ, now you as a slave, you should work for your master even more. You should love him even more because you work for him as you work for God. You as an employer, love your employee. And if you tell him you pay him today, pay him today. Don't pay him tomorrow or next week. Dal vostro să fie da și nu, să fie nu. And still, we have petitions, we have contracts, we have... I don't know, we just elevate bureaucracy to such a point. But it's written in Ecclesiastic 3, you know, if you make a promise to your Lord and you don't honor it, then you make a sin. And rather than making a sin, I would rather just not make any promise. How much hypocrisy. But we forget a lot of times about Psalm 76, verse 11. Make vows, make promises to your God and honor them. But you want to know something? I got to the conclusion that weak Christians or weak people will always look for excuses. Strong people will look for ways to fix them. Don't you see, you come to church, you see a cause. I don't know, you see someone in Honduras, you see someone in Africa, you see someone in need, someone in problem. And God is sensibilized your heart and he says, you know what, you got to help this person. You got to do something for this person. And you get outside and you just realize that your car maintenance is due that week. I don't know how that happens, but the refrigerator breaks that day. But weak Christians will always look for excuses. Strong people, strong Christians, for ways to fix them. You see, there's someone coming to Jesus, and he says, you know what, I want to follow you, all excited. Are you sure? Dar știi că vulpile au vizuinele lor, nu? Și știi că și păsările au cuiburile lor, dar tu știi că fiul omului n-are unde să-și plece capul de seară? Huh? You see, I worked construction for a few years here in the United States and just want to give you an example. It's just a simple example. Especially here in Southern California, you go and you pass almost every Home Depot that you see around. You see those people there on the streets calling for work? You know, they all have a story. The same God that created me created them as well. And all of them have a story. And you know what? How an average story of them would go? Something like this. He left his family with like 3 or 4 kids in Mexico or Guatemala or Honduras or El Salvador. He came here through bullets, through wilderness, wild animals, through a lot of dangers, with 1 gallon of water in 1 week. He stays in front of a Home Depot. He works 2 days out of 7. And he lives with another 5 people in a room. And maybe there's something that I can do for one of them. Or being at the stoplight and seeing someone coming to me begging. And I'm just like, God, you know what? I would just want to go forward. God, I would just, parcă aș vrea să dau timpul înapoi, să trec peste momente, la iară vine să-mi ceară. And he's coming. And you know what? It's so weird. And he's asking you for some change. He's asking me for some change. Și parcă te întorci, dar n-am. You know what? I don't have anything. And God gives me another lesson. He goes by, passing by, and he says, God bless you. And I want to shout and I want to say, God, I want to follow you. Are you sure? Abel, are you sure? Are you sure you want to follow me? You see, we expect God to answer us and bless us. And we say, God, you know what? You better honor your promise. You promised. You know you are perfect. You are holy. You can't breach the contract. You can't break your promise. But I can break my promise every day to my Lord. You know, I can breach the contract every day and I can come with my hands all dirty expecting him to bless me. It ain't working that way. It ain't working that way. Mai întâi trebuie să revitalizez viața, mai întâi trebuie să-mi schimb gândirea, mai întâi trebuie să mă pocăiesc, mai întâi trebuie să mă pun pe genunchi, mai întâi trebuie să văd care e relația mea cu Dumnezeu, mai întâi trebuie să schimb inima mea. Să existe setea aia, să existe dorința aia după Hristos și după sfințenia Lui. Ajută-ne, Doamne, la aceasta. And fourth and last, what stops blessings? The priority. The question is, what's more important to me? What's more important to you? Is it to receive blessings from God or to just be a child of God? I'm wondering when it's going to be that day when I'll just be able to say, God, you know what? I don't want anything, God. God, I don't care about any blessings. I don't care. God, I just want you and that's all. Maybe that's why God doesn't give us a lot of things sometimes, a lot of blessings, because we don't even know what to do with them. În Luca 9, cuvântul Domnului spune, căutați mai întâi împărăția lui Dumnezeu și toate lucrurile vi se vor da pe deasupra, dar mai întâi căutați-mă pe mine, spune Iisus. Mai întâi veniți la mine, că încercați să mergeți la dreapta, încercați să mergeți la stânga, încercați să ocoliți, dar veniți la mine, veniți prin centru. Știu că rarea e strâmtă, știu că rarea e grea, știu că de multe ori cădeți, știu că sunt spini, știu că sunt mărăcini, știu că sunt lacrimi, știu că e mocirlă, știu că e un tunel negru, e un tunel dureros, știu că nu-i lumină, dar vreau să spun ceva în seara asta, la capătul tunelului e lumina, la capătul tunelului e Iisus, care stă cu mâinile deschise, pironite, mâini care erau străpunse de cuie într-o zi pe calvar pentru tine și pentru mine. Da, se merită să mergi pe calea aia. Da, se merită să mergi pe calea strâmtă. Pentru că calea strâmtă duce la Iisus. E prioritatea mea, e Iisus. Trebuie să fie prioritatea ta. Iisus Hristos și numai El. Because if you go through Him, if you go through the center, then all the blessings are going to come. They're going to come, combo. It's not even about expecting them. It's about expecting God, not necessarily the blessings. You see, we come to church a lot of times and we pray for our sins. But you forget all of them, right? I mean, sometimes it happens to me, you know. I might have made some sins during the week and I just pray for some of them. But you know what? I forgot all of them. It's a reality. We're human. You pray for someone that is in problem, someone that is sick, I don't know, and you see that list that is here, you know, every Sunday, and you know, there's a lot of names. Yeah, you might mention some of them, but you might not remember all of them. But you know what's interesting? That we never forget to ask for ourselves, for those blessings, for that me, myself, and I, right? I'm wondering, God, when is going to be that day when I will be able to just pray for a half an hour and after a half an hour to be able to realize and say, you know what, I didn't even ask anything for me, for myself. If I didn't got to that point, or if you didn't got to that point yet, my dear brother, my dear sister, that means there's a longer way to go and there's more to fight. So as a conclusion, what's the priority in our lives? You know, three little things in the end. Where's your time going during the week? Where's my time going the week? You know, it's funny how the time goes passes by very fast, very quick. That's reality. But you see, it's so interesting how we have time to do a lot of things. We have hours to spend chatting, to spend, I don't know, talking to each other, to spend on the gym, to spend at work. Yeah, I'll work 12 hours because this guy, he said he's paying me double time and overtime, but the state is going to take more taxes from you anyway, and at the end of the day, you're not going to take anything with you out of this world. But when it's about God, 1 minute of prayer in the night. Reading the Bible, oh, I just realized I forgot. Tomorrow. The odd days. What's the priority in my life? Where are my money go? Where are your money go? You see, and I want to address right now this to the young generation more. We live in a country that despite everything that happens around us, we are the most blessed country ever. Here in the United States of America, you expect to eat anything that you want and it's cheap. Believe me, it's cheap. You expect almost anyone that has a job for $100 or $200 a month, he can rent a brand new car. Yeah, it might not be a Mercedes or a BMW, but it's a new car. No, we have money to buy, for example, an iPhone. You know, in Romania, a middle-class person has to work and just save almost six months in a year just to be able to buy the last technology of a phone, of an iPhone. Here, you work a day, maybe two, for an iPhone. Going to the mall, spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on things that we need or we might not need. And when it's about God, a dollar, change, or nothing. I can say, God, you are my priority. And how much do I get involved from the bottom to the top and from the top to the bottom? Everyone, how much do I get involved in the church? You see, a few weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago actually, there was a preacher from Romania in a Sunday morning here. And I don't know how many of you guys remember, but he made such an interesting, a deep point. And he said, you know what? We shouldn't just come to church just to expect to receive things. But we should come to church to give stuff too, right? Because let me tell you something. If you expect just to receive, you might go home with nothing. E ca și o tigaie mare, da? Cu 200 de prăjituri și vin 350 de oameni la biserică. Și hai să spunem că fiecare și-ar lua câte o prăjitură. Dar și logic, și matematic îți dai seama că nu o să fie prăjituri pentru toți. Că 150 o să meargă flămânzi acasă.
But if everyone comes prepared with something, then God will see your heart. God will see my heart and he's going to pour out that Holy Spirit and he's going to give me that armor that I need to throughout the week so badly. That sword and that shield. At work, at home, with your friends, wherever you are. But I got to get involved. You need to get involved. We need to get involved. Four perilous, stopping the blessings. But I believe with a true heart, a real change that should start with me and with you, and should start from the bottom of our heart, we can escape and all this can be raised away. Doamne Dumnezeule, vin înaintea Ta și îți mulțumesc pentru dragostea Ta. Îți mulțumesc, Doamne Dumnezeule, pentru biserica aceasta. Doamne, îți mulțumesc pentru potențialul pe care l-ai pus aici. Îți mulțumesc, Doamne Dumnezeule, pentru copiii Tăi, pentru slujitorii Tăi, pentru fiecare membru din biserică. Doamne Dumnezeule, știm că ne iubești, Doamne, și această iubire ne-ai dat-o prin Fiul Tău, Iisus Hristos, care a venit, Doamne, s-a sacrificat și a dat viața ca noi să fim salvați. Și știu că binecuvântările Tale stau, Doamne, să vină asupra noastră, însă de multe ori, Doamne, nu Te apreciem destul. Doamne Dumnezeule, știu că de multe ori este această presiune, Doamne, acest pressure test, Doamne. Doamne Dumnezeule, de multe ori ne este greu, de multe ori ne este frică, de multe ori, Doamne Dumnezeule, suntem pătruși de această teamă, Doamne. O, Doamne, înlătură Tu în această seară teama aceasta. O, Doamne, înlătură, Doamne, gândurile vrășmașe care vin deasupra noastră și ajută-ne, Doamne, să fim o mărturie vie înaintea Ta. Doamne Dumnezeule, de multe ori, Doamne, avem încredere mai mult în oameni decât în Tine. Doamne, de multe ori inima noastră se leagă de materialist, Doamne. Doamne, inima noastră se leagă de cei în lume. O, Doamne, casa noastră nu e aici, Doamne. Casa noastră e la Tine. Casa noastră e în cer. Doamne, leagă-ne Tu de cer. Leagă-ne de sfințenia Ta. Leagă-ne, Doamne Dumnezeule, de bucuria pe care o avem în Tine. Alteori, Doamne Dumnezeule, este un test al perseverenței. Deși, Doamne, am făcut un commitment, Doamne, deși Ți-am făcut o promisiune, deși am făcut un botez, deși Ți-am jurat credință veșnică, Doamne, câteodată cădem. Doamne, ne-e atât de greu, Doamne Dumnezeule, să stăm curați. Doamne, ne-e atât de greu să stăm drepți. O, Doamne Dumnezeule, toarnă Tu îndurarea Ta, mila Ta și iertarea Ta peste noi, Doamne. Și ajută-ne, Doamne Dumnezeule, să ne sfințim, să ne curățim, Doamne Dumnezeule, fiind iertați și îmbrăcați în haina Ta vie, o haină albă, Doamne, pe care Tu ai pregătită pentru noi. Doamne Dumnezeule, ajută-ne, Doamne, să privim înspre Tine. Doamne Dumnezeule, înlătură Tu orice gând, înlătură Tu orice obiectiv. Doamne, orice instabilitate, Doamne, echilibru vrem să fii Tu, Doamne Dumnezeule. Viziunea Ta vrem să fii Tu, gândul nostru vrem să fii Tu, dorința noastră vrem să fii Tu, prioritatea noastră în viață vrem să fii Tu. Toarnă Tu din binecuvântările Tale peste noi, arată Tu iertarea, Doamne Dumnezeule, avem o nădejde vie în Tine. Te iubim, te prețuim și te înălțăm. Amin.